Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Welcome back, everybody, to today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for listening to AFR on this Thursday, November the 7th, right, Fred?
That is correct.
Fred Jackson in studio. We got two remote guys. We got Ray Pritchard up in Kansas City, and we got Alex McFarland in North Carolina. And now in studio with us is Steve Jordahl. Steve, I call him Steve Johnny Cash Jordahl. He's donning the all black today.
Yeah, so I still am a Paisley guy at heart, but yeah. I have a concert tonight in Columbus, Mississippi, if anybody's down there and has some free time. It's a free concert.
Are you a country singer? What are you?
No, it's a choral concert.
A choral concert?
It's
like the
Golden
Ocean?
Triangle Singers. Like what?
Like the ocean?
Coral. No, with an H.
Oh, that kind of, my bad.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I thought maybe y'all were singing by the sea or something.
We might.
Like that.
No. Good choral classical music. And so this is our, we're instructed to dress in all black.
I got you.
It looks.
Have you ever fell into a ring of fire, though?
No, but I have walked around them.
All right. So Steve Jordahl in studio with us. All right, Steve, you wanted to mention, what was the first story you had here?
If you want to go back, go back to the speech that Joe Biden gave to his staff at the White House moments ago, about a half an hour ago.
The same one we've heard clips
Yes.
of? Okay.
Yeah, I got one more clip for this because I want to get your thoughts on whether this is an attack at a jab at Donald Trump or whether what he means by this. But he did talk. It was a pretty good speech. And after, now that he's not running, yeah, there was no flubs or gaffes or Biden moments. He got off stage just fine. But he also said something about what this means about the elections. Listen to cut 20. Coming.
I also hope we can lay to rest the question about the integrity of the American electoral system. It is honest, it is fair, and it is transparent. And it can be trusted, win or lose. I also hope we can restore the respect for all our election workers who busted their necks and took risks at the outset. We should thank them. Thank them for staffing voting sites, counting the votes, protecting the very integrity of the election.
Well, first of all, do you think it does set that question to rest? And do you think that right there he was taking a little jab at Donald Trump?
Go ahead, Fred.
Yeah, I think he was taking a jab at Trump. But since 2020, a lot of reforms have been made to enhance the integrity of the vote. Let me put it that way. There's things that have been put in place. One of the things is having more poll observers in place. We know we saw the problem in Philadelphia the other day when they wanted to keep some Republican observers out of the polling places. And the Republicans had a team of lawyers on the ready to go in there and go to court. And those districts in Philadelphia immediately allowed those observers in. So things have changed since 2020. But I would agree this time around, as far as Biden saying, things were more transparent. But I would thank Republican efforts for that.
Yeah, Alex, anything on that?
Yeah, the Republicans across the country they deserve credit because they've worked since the spring of this year to get volunteers, to hire staff, to prepare legal briefs in the event that they needed to, assert their rights for voter integrity. With fallen humans involved, there's always the chance for something fraudulent or dishonest. But the RNC across the country was ahead of the curve this time.
I don't remember Ray ever hearing about. I don't remember us having discussions about voter fraud and cheating and what happened here and what happened there before 2020.
You know, there were that discussion was always there, Tim, but in the background, right? We didn't hear it in 2008 between John McCain and Barack Obama. Obama won, period. And he won re-election, period. But you got to say back in 2020, give the Democrats credit, if that's the right word. Maybe a different word is appropriate. But they played the game better in 2020. The early voting, the mail-in ballots, working the system, gaming the system, if you will, so that across the country there was chaos on voting night and the nights that followed. And as Alex just said, a lot of changes were put in place in the last 4 years, and I think it paid off this week in a big way.
I heard a lot of talk coming up into this election with regard to how clean it was going to be about with the phrase, make it too big to rig. In other words, if it's a blowout and they can't, it's just impossible to cheat that badly, or the early voting messed up the plans to bring the boxes out from under the table or whatever. There's all kinds of conspiracy theories, but there's the thought floating around that the blowout, because it was such a landslide, it's irrelevant The other thing I'm noticing is because we heard a lot of threats or talk about if Trump won that there was going to be huge unrest in major cities and the country was going to erupt. I haven't heard of that either, which very good. I'm glad.
Yeah.
By the way,
for the record, Trump won by, it was 200,000 shy of 10 million votes.
Is this all the votes have been counted, even California?
The popular vote, well, I don't know, but it's roughly, I was reading about 2 hours ago, as of this morning, and of course, you know, this might change, but, you know, essentially a 10 million vote margin, that's strong. But, you know, back in 2020, before we leave that topic, I remember in Colorado, in Aurora, Colorado, there was the Dominion voting machines. This was not just Colorado, but...
Be careful.
I was just going to say
the same
thing.
Be careful unless you want to write them a check. We don't.
yeah. Okay. So no, scratch that.
Please. Thank you. Yes. They'll be calling us, not you.
Yeah. Okay. No. So
just certain things.
I heard rumors, although I'm not saying yay or nay, of hard drives erased, and there were just legitimate questions about the security of the vote in 2020.
Yeah. All right. You're listening. Next story, Chris, Steve.
All right. So one of the things that Donald Trump has said he is going to do, speaking of election denying, is he said back during the campaign, you remember he went and sat with a group of black journalists kind of going into the lion's den. Everybody was kind of impressed that he'd go there. Well, he went there and they started talking about the January 6th prisoners. And the question was asked, are you going to pardon them? I want you to hear what he had to say at 18.
Would you pardon
those
people?
What's going to happen? Oh, absolutely, I would.
You would pardon those?
If they're innocent, I would pardon them.
They've been convicted.
And by the way, the Supreme Court just under... Well, they were convicted by a very tough system. They were... How come the people that tried to burn down Minneapolis, how come the people that took over a large percentage of Seattle, how come nothing happened to them? But you went after the J6 people with a vengeance.
So he has promised to pardon the J6 prisoners. I talked to Sandy Rios a little bit ago, who's been neck deep in this issue. She really cares passionately about it. And she says she expects him to keep his
word. How many are there?
There are more than 1,265 defendants have been charged from all 50 states.
How many of them are sitting up there in jail? That's what I want to know. D.C.
Yeah, 100 and, I don't have the number exactly. It's 1,186 defendants have been charged with entering. 116 defendants have been charged with. I have the different charges.
All right.
Well, I believe there's somewhere around.
He needs to just let them all. Needs to. What do you call it?
Pardon.
He needs. He has that authority, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Once he becomes president,
he can just pardon them all.
And I ask because if they were charged under state charges, then he wouldn't be able to. But D.C.
Listen, unless they vandalize the building or offices, or they got violent. Okay, people would say, I know it might say, well, violent. What more violence do you need rather than ransack going into the building? No, there are a lot of these people, all they did was go into the building mm-hmm. and walk around.
Mm-hmm. And now, some were let into the building, by the way.
Yeah, but they knew what they were doing. I'm not gonna let Jay Sixers off the hook for entering the building when the proceedings were going on. They knew what they were doing was wrong. But the penalties were way too harsh. And you hear about all these stories about not even getting a fair trial, a speedy trial, sitting in prison. That's just, you got violent criminals who get out every day.
Yes.
In America with hand slaps.
We don't sentence people to prison terms for breaking a glass.
No, they were being politically prosecuted.
Yes.
Unless you assaulted a police officer and we got it on videotape, and even that, how severe was it? And nobody gets 4 years for something like that. So he'll probably just let them all go, be done with it.
As of the three-year mark, approximately 749 federal defendants have had their cases adjudicated and received sentences. 467 have been sentenced to periods of incarceration. 154 have been sentenced to periods of home detention, including 28 who are. Yeah.
So he just pardoned them all. Is that what he's going to do? Is
what
he
says he's going to do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, Alex, any final thoughts before we let you go?
I just think the Lord is with our nation, and now we have an opportunity for freedom, stability, prosperity, to live out the Great Commission. I think the prayers of millions have been answered,
Amen.
And God is going to help our nation get back to being the Judeo-Christian republic we were designed to be.
Hey, may it be so. Amen. Thank you, Brother Alex. Look forward to hearing you this afternoon. What are you and Bert going to be talking about?
We're starting Philippians chapter 3. And then, of course, tomorrow will be Fire Away Friday. So we've been going through the book of Philippians.
Okay. Look forward to it. Thank you.
Blessings.
That's Bert. That's Brother Alex McFarland, who he and Bert Harper host Exploring the Word.
Mm-hmm. Very popular show.
Afternoon. What do you think about the J6 issue, Ray?
If I were advising Mr. Trump, the one thing I would say is do it fast. Mm. Don't drag this thing out.
Right.
Don't.
Day one.
This kind of thing.
Day one.
Right. Day one. Do it day one. You've got between now and January, because, Tim, you made a good point. Not all the defendants are equal, right?
Right.
So some of them put themselves, by their actions, they ended up in prison. Those people should be considered one way. But a whole lot of people got draconian sentences for walking around inside, not touching anything. But whatever you do, Mr. President, do it quickly. Don't drag it out.
No, I agree. I totally agree. All right, you're listening to today's issues. Go ahead, Steve, next story.
Pollsters are, some are celebrating tonight, and they have corrected the deficits that they saw in the 2016 and the 2020 elections. Others are still pretty far off. So I know just, Tim, you had said that you were fairly impressed with the Real Clear Politics averages polls.
They turned out to be pretty accurate.
They did. They had Trump winning all the battleground states except for two, and they missed on two. But it was Wisconsin and Michigan, so they were close anyway. So there was a poll that was done just a couple days before the election by pollster Ann Seltzer, and it was supposed to be the gold standard, and it had Harris vaulting ahead in Iowa, which, of course, the media picked all that up, and everything was going to change in the Midwest, and she was drastically wrong, as we saw. So she's going to be doing some soul searching. You might want to take a look.
Who's going to be doing soul searching?
Her name is Ann Seltzer.
What is her job?
Pollster.
Okay.
Based in Iowa.
Iowa.
She's with the Des Moines Register, I think.
And she said, I'm sorry, I missed that. She said, what did she say?
Said that Harris had jumped ahead in Iowa and was now leading in Iowa, was going by she gained 7 points in the last days of the election.
And Trump ended up winning by what?
It's not close.
It wasn't even close.
She won by 12, maybe 12, 13, something like that.
Why would you say something like that?
Well, that's what her poll showed. Now,
well, her poll must have been her lefty friends at lunch.
Well, this is what this is the whole debate. That was every poll seemed to be off in 2016. Remember, no one could figure out, well, how did this happen? Because they didn't see it. The headline the day before the election is Trump's chance of winning is zero. And then the next day in 2016, he won, and they were all off on 2020. Now she was off, and everybody seized on that poll. 538, Nate Silver, Sabato's Crystal Ball, and The Economist all had Harris winning the election. Decision Desk HQ was the only major poll, at least listed here, that had Trump winning. But you know what's
well? Nobody really knew. Excuse me for interrupting. 3 weeks ago, it was a dead heat, and it was 50-50 who was going to win. It really was. You remember that? I mean, if you believe the Real Clear Politics polls, which you, Fred, you and I watched, and so it was 50-50, and then something happened in the last 3 weeks where I guess people who were undecided broke for Trump. Mm-hmm. The few that remained, they broke for Trump. Enough to give him a 1, 2, 3% margin of victory in almost all the swing states. And that was all that's what he needed. So that's why he won. So, and the Real Clear Politics polls did show that as what would happen. Is that right,
Yep.
Fred?
Yep. No question.
Now, here's a source that we might, I don't know, Ray, you don't gamble, do you?
No.
But there's a site. You guys
expect
heard of,
him to admit to it?
Yeah, right.
I gave the right answer. Yeah, no.
Have you heard of a site called Polymarkets?
Oh, I followed it.
Yeah.
I was probably on Polymarket 10 times a day the last week going into the election.
Polymarkets is how people wager on the elections, how their money is going, right. Not just their opinions.
Right. It's real money.
It's real money. And real money. They were spot on, but down to the state. They called this election correctly, which to me says the people that are putting their money, they're not going to put money behind what they know is a political answer, not a realistic one. So just going forward, Polymarkets, don't bet, but go there for information.
You saw the guy in France, some guy in France. I just read the article about him. He won $40 million. We're not in favor of gambling, okay? but I did see the article, you know, because he put it on Trump. Trump to win big. All right, there you go. It is amazing, Steve. We'll leave it right there. That when real money is involved, you put your preferences aside, and they basically at the end they called it down to the state.
Yep.
Right.
I do to answer. To talk about, this is me personally, and, you know, I only speak for myself. I do think the election this time was we didn't have any major issues out there that we saw across the country. You're going to have glitches. You're going to have problems. Mm-hmm. When you got 330 people, a country of 330 million people, you're going to have some issues. But nothing substantial, nothing where – we see a truck being driven from one place to another with, I mean, so I, what I'm saying is I trust the results.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That happened. And listen, 2020 was, we were in the midst of COVID.
Pandemic, yeah.
And all these people were voting early. I mean, and they were almost all Democrats.
They changed the rules.
Yeah.
Yeah. Changed the rules.
Yes.
Yeah. There were things that went on regarding rules changes and so forth that were not secrets. They were used to aid and abet the Democrats in the vote counting. So
there's an argument to be made that even absent any voting issues at all, that election was stolen from Donald Trump by the media, who covered up the Hunter Biden laptop, which cost him, according to polls,
there were a lot of that. But the media didn't go in and vote, change the voting machines. But,
as
far as influencing the voters because they withheld critical information about Joe Biden, yeah. All right, so, hey, that's yesterday's news. It's a new day, and President-elect Trump will take office in January. And now the speculation is who will he choose to be on his team?
Yeah.
Very, very important. We were talking, Fred, off the air. You like the influence of Don Jr.
Yes.
And particularly Don Jr. on
And
Eric?
Yes. Don Jr. was interviewed this morning on Fox and Friends, and he talked about, he said, I don't think he's interested in the cabinet position himself, but he said he's going to be very involved in vetting people in the transition team and also when it comes to his dad's cabinet picks. Now, his dad has the final say, the president, but he says he is going to help his dad really screen these people. We know that in 2016, when he had his 4 years as president, he ran into trouble right away.
Oh, it was chaos.
With people who were not loyal to him. And what John Jr. was saying this morning, we are going to look and vet people to ensure that they will be loyal to his dad, the president.
Well, good.
Yeah.
Eric Trump, too, has impressed me.
Yes, absolutely.
So I think those two were mainly responsible for him choosing J.D. Vance.
Yes, no question. And that what a great pick that was.
Yeah, and J.D. Vance should help him.
Yes.
There.
Oh, yes.
Should help Trump in terms of who he will pick to surround himself with.
Mm-hmm.
I do think Pompeo, if he wants to, would come back. I don't know about Secretary of State, but Secretary of Defense, something like that.
He would be strong in either of those
jobs.
That's for
Jim,
sure.
how do you like Marco Rubio for Secretary of State?
I like Marco Rubio.
Yeah, I do too.
I always have. So I think he would be a good addition.
Solid choice.
I would hate to lose him in the Senate, but I'm sure.
Put DeSantis in there.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind seeing DeSantis in the Senate. You know, he's only got 2 years left as governor of Florida, and he would be an asset to the conservative side in the Senate. So.
Yes. Mr. Trump had trouble with the Secretary of State position in the first term. I think
I don't think he did. I'm serious. The Secretary of State
was Mike Pompeo.
Who was with him all four years.
But who was the Secretary of State in the beginning, the first one?
I think it was always Pompeo.
You may be thinking about
the Secretary of Defense or something.
Okay, maybe I am. The fellow who that none of us had ever heard of.
Okay, this is a...
It's like a trivia question now.
Yeah.
I'm sorry to bring
it
up here.
Some of this is on Trump himself, okay?
Mm, yes. Yes.
He needs to get his act together, too.
Yes.
Well, and he has. Right? They talk about him learning a whole lot of lessons.
Prove it. I hope he has. I hope he has, because after you get, a lot of people having to be fired around you over and over again, you have to go in the mirror and say, what am I doing wrong? I've got to get it right. And so we all hope that Trump will, by getting it right, by surrounding himself with people. Rex Tillerson is who you're thinking about.
That's who I was thinking of. Right.
Yeah, Trump said he had a pea brain, I think, when he left. Huh?
Yeah.
So that's what I'm talking about. We can't have we can't have Trump.
Can't have pea brains up
there. Well, I
want
to go, who hired the pea brain? Trump.
He's going to do better this second time, no doubt.
All right, let's all clap for that.
No doubt.
I think we can all agree.
No doubt.
He's the trust that the American people have put in Donald Trump is there. And so he needs to reciprocate by having some stability in his administration.
Yeah.
I think that's what we can hope to expect, right?
And I think his sons are going to help him.
Amen. Yeah. I agree. And J.D. Vance.
Yes.
All right, we see you tomorrow, everybody. Have a great day.